This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم سليما كثيرا. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. صلاة ربي وسلامه عليه. Welcome everybody to this week's Friday Night Lights. And alhamdulillah, you know, we're going to welcome back Sheikh Waleed. He's been gone for a couple of weeks, went to Umrah and came back, and we missed him. So welcome back, Sheikh.
Thank you. Jazakallah khair. Absolutely.
Today's session is on a really, really beautiful, obviously an important session, and that's Jannah, a description of Jannah. And believing in it, of course, is one of the pillars of our faith. It's one of the pillars of Iman. And I just want to kind of start by introducing it from a different angle that I think we can all really relate to. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says in a really beautiful hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, a statement that she makes. She says...
Closer to your mouth.
Closer to my mouth? Okay. So she says, if the first verses that were revealed from the Quran were don't drink alcohol, the people would have said, we're never going to stop drinking alcohol. And if the first verses that were revealed from the Quran were don't commit fornication and adultery, the people would have responded saying, we're never going to stop. But she says the first verses that were revealed were... Closer still?
Yeah.
Okay. The first verses that were revealed were... chapters from, or surah from Al-Mufassal, which is like the last seventh of the Qur'an, speaking about Jannah and Nar, until the hearts became attached to their Lord, and then the halal and the haram was revealed. And so what she's describing is this Qur'anic ability, or the Qur'anic methodology of creating change. A lot of us go through, and we know people who can't give up particular sins, and we assume that it's just a matter of them not knowing that something is haram. But if you go and you interview people, your average Muslim, they know drinking alcohol is haram, they know that dating is haram, they know these types of things. But what they need and what we need is to be reminded of the hereafter, to be reminded of paradise and the hellfire. And so, inshallah ta'ala, today we're going to be increasing our iman by reflecting on the abode of delights, paradise, inshallah ta'ala. So, I just wanted to begin with that, Sheikh Waleed. You teach a course on this topic, Forever, Journeying Between Paradise and Hellfire. So what are your initial thoughts on this topic?
I think when I think of Jannah, one of the things that I always ask myself, how much I really believe in Jannah. And how much my heart is attached to Jannah. And I think that's a key point. It's not about really... how much detailed information, as much as about how much really your heart is attached to paradise, how much you think about it, you know. And what's interesting, there's so many things in our religion always connect us with Jannah, always connect us with paradise. That's why the rewards is always, it's mentioned in the Quran so many times, every verse, every page in the Quran, I guarantee you there is some kind of link to paradise or the hereafter, you will find it. So I think as an initial thought, one of the things that I hope that we can establish through this is for your heart to be always thinking about Jannah. So when you see something so beautiful, it reminds you of Jannah. I will never forget, I was in Canada in a boat with a group of people in a lake, in the middle of the lake. One of the most beautiful serenity places I ever been in my place I ever been in my life. It was, anyway, Lake Louise, if you know what that is. While I'm there, we prayed Dhuhr and Asr, alhamdulillah, earlier. And Canada at that time, the day is very long. Okay, so there is a lot of time ahead of us. So when I was sitting there with these guys who invited me, just relaxing, just not, I forgot that I'm from Houston. I forgot that I'm married. I forgot that I have kids. I forgot that for a few seconds, I was completely enjoying the moment. There is no salah. There is no care about wudu or salah or anything that's going to come. I'm just relaxing. No bills, no teaching, nothing. Believe me, these few seconds, few moments, okay, was so powerful that I can't even describe how much I appreciated it. I'm not worried about anything. Then I said to the guys with me, and the beautiful, beautiful weather, the beautiful mountains and water, and, you know, there's only thing was missing that day, beautiful food, and, you know, and I said to them that time, can you guys imagine to live like this forever? Can you imagine to live forever like this? But the point is, at that moment, I was so happy that my mind took me to Jannah. And I hope that this is something you guys start thinking about. Yani, look what's in the dunya can connect you to the Jannah. And that's a beautiful concept, to connect yourself to the hereafter, to the akhirah. You know, when you enjoy some food, think about the food of Jannah. When you enjoy some company, think about the company of Jannah, and so forth. For me, this is one of the most powerful points in regard to believing in Jannah.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa rasulillah, amma ba'd. So, you know, Jannah makes you realize that love is a very, very powerful emotion. Extremely powerful. It transcends time, it transcends this world. Because even after we leave this world, and this world is destroyed, in Al-Jannah, we're going to want things similar to things of this earth. Even though the point wasn't this earth, the whole point was for us to prepare for our final homes, for our eternal homes. So you think earth was just like a passing station or something. But even after people make it into Jannah, they desire things from the things of this world. And so some people will desire to go to the market, and there's a market in Jannah. And people will go there, and they'll come back more beautiful and all that. But like the market in Jannah, if you want to get like technical, doesn't make sense as far as nobody's buying and selling and profiting. But we still love the market. There's the hadith, the man who loves farming, so he's going to want to farm in Al-Jannah. And people have riding animals, things similar to this world. So we'll... Even children, absolutely. Yani, people will desire children in Al-Jannah. Like you and your wife will be in Jannah. I'm like, let's have kids. Sure. And then the kids, you know, there's no trimester, no throwing up and nothing, like no labor. Just they come up, they're handsome, father, how are you? Like that. But the point is that, look at when you're in Jannah, you're still attached to love that was from another world, and you're still rewarded with things from that world. And then the real example, you're not really looking forward to your grapes or the houses of gold, or you're not looking forward to seeing the servants. Like, I guarantee everyone in this room, even if you're thinking of the wrong thing, when I remind you of this one thing, you're going to say, yes, that's the number one thing I'm looking forward to. And that is seeing the Prophet ﷺ. I mean, yani, look at the power of... Isn't that what everyone's thinking of?
No, not me.
Really? Okay, I thought everyone's on the same boat as it. I just think that...
My biggest will be seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's just...
Come on, you know what I'm talking about, Sheikh Wali. Yeah. You know that I didn't mean that included. Of course that's out.
Tawheed, ya boy.
This was a... Okay, Sheikh Wali's too clever. That's what's happening. But really... of all the things you want to see in Al-Jannah, yani, I don't mean Allah Azza wa Jal, of course, you know. You don't care about the house, you care about seeing the Prophet. That's like the greatest thing there. And it's just amazing how your love of someone transcends and takes precedence over the love of everything else. Anyways, that kind of destroyed my point, Sheikh Walid. But I thought, like, that's what everybody cared about the most, is like, look at love. You want to see the Prophet ﷺ. You want to see Abu Bakr. You want to see Umar. You want to meet Salama. You want to see Khadija radiallahu anha. You want to meet Musa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then, and I think it's one of the coolest things in Al-Jannah, you want to watch the Battle of Badr on the big screen. Or maybe you can be in it, I don't know. But you want to watch the Battle of Badr. You want to watch the moment when Jibreel came in the cave and squeezed in the Prophet ﷺ and said, Iqra. And you want, I mean, come on, these. So I always think about, that's the stuff that I'm excited about, and all of them have to do with love. Anyways, that's my opening, which was somehow destroyed. But yeah.
No, you got your.
So, Sheikh, how spacious, how big is Jannah?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَسَارِعُوا فِي الْآيَةِ الْأُخْرَى وَسَابِقُوا إِلَى جَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The width of it is like the width of the heavens and the earth. And heavens and earth, they mean the universe. Can you imagine the universe? You know, and you take the whole entire universe, قال, one of the interpretation for this, it's like the tailor, when he bring a garment and he put it, then he put another garment up next to it, then he sew them together, he connect them together, then a third one, then a fourth one. That's the width of it. Just to give you a perspective, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kursi, al-kursi, comparing to the size of this earth, is like a ring that you threw in a desert. We are the ring, and Allah's kursi, the footstool. Okay? And the kursi is the desert. Can you imagine the comparison between our size and the kursi? Then the comparison between the kursi, the footstool, and the throne of Allah is like the comparison between a shield, like the warrior shield, in it a coin. You stick in it a coin. So al-kursi represent the coin, and the shield represent the throne of Allah, and Allah above that. That throne, is like a dome in front in the top of Jannah. Is like the ceiling of Jannah. Allah's throne is like a dome, like this. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pointed with his hand like this. Can you imagine now how big the Jannah is? In it, a tree. The shade of that tree, you will travel for 600 years and you will not cross it. From how big that tree is. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the people of Jannah, يتراءون كما يتراء الكوكب الدري. You look at the person above you, or someone in next level, and he's so far like the way you see the far star in the sky. How many millions of years you travel from here to see some of these stars that you see in the sky today?
So Sheikh, just for perspective, like I live in an apartment, the guy above me, I always hear his footsteps and I hear him like banging and stuff like that. So you're saying the level above is like the star?
Like far as the star. It's huge. Huge. Unbelievable. And one of the beautiful things about this, like, you know, in Texas, we're so blessed. We say Texas is big, you know, and that's why people in Texas have different attitude a little bit than many other states, because you live and live to live. There is so many space. It's not like crumble over each other in New Jersey. Or New York, you know. So here, live and let to live. A very spacious place. Can you imagine Jannah like that? So big, so far. And don't worry about transportation or moving or going around. SubhanAllah, it's just everything is easy, and it was made easy for you.
Sheikhna, that description, that's the size of Al-Jannah or everyone's personal Jannah?
No, Al-Jannah, the whole entire paradise.
Okay. You know, Sheikh, you're thinking, you mentioned this notion of connecting your experiences to Jannah. And so for me, whenever I think of the verse, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْ رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا قَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ طِبْتُمْ فَادْخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes people entering into Jannah in groups. And so when they enter it, the angels are waiting for them, and the angels say to them, Salamun alaykum, peace be upon you. Tibtum fadkhuluha khalideen. You've become purified, so enter into Jannah eternally. So I had an experience that's not similar to this at all, but it just reminds me of it. Is that one time I went to a hotel, and it ended up being a really, really nice hotel, and I'll never forget the area too. It was Buckhead in Atlanta. This is a really nice area. And so when I got out of the car, the valet there, he asked me what my name was. I And so I asked, I told him, I said, my name is Ammar Shukri. He was like, welcome, Mr. Shukri, cool. And so then as I'm walking into the lobby, the guy, before I say anything, he's like, welcome, Mr. Shukri. I'm like, how'd you know my name? And then as I'm going to the elevator, they're like, welcome, Mr. Shukri. And I'm just like, I'm being ushered in by all of these people. Obviously, the guy had a headpiece, later I realized. And then as I'm walking in, he's just let everybody know what my name was. But I was like, I still remember that experience. Like, I've never forgotten it. I just felt so welcomed. And so you can imagine when you're entering into Jannah, and you're just being welcomed by these angels, but I'm just staying there for the night. At the end of the day, I have to leave. But the angels, the first thing they're telling you is that this is, you got permanent residency. You're not leaving. أَدْخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ.
And also the bill is going to ruin it, the whole experience.
Yeah, the bill is going to ruin it and everything.
SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَارًا. They come to Jannah in groups. You don't enter Jannah individually. Some of the ulama said, because in order for you to go to Jannah, you need also to work in groups. You need to be your family, your friends, a good people. Because al-ulama said the reason is give you a hint that in order for you to be righteous, you need to surround yourself with the good people. The same group. So one of the things that I ask you, those who you hang out with in the night, are they seeking, taking you to Jannah? Those who you spend most of your time with, your family, are those people who are doing and encouraging and guiding you and offering you the thing that will lead to Jannah? If the answer is yes, those are the people that you hold into their company the most, because you will be in their company in the Day of Judgment. حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها. And when they arrive, the doors will be open later, because they arrive, the Prophet ﷺ will give the first, the Prophet ﷺ knock on the door, then it will be said, who's Muhammad? ﷺ said, this is Muhammad. Then the angel said, for you we've been opened. Then after that, what happened? When the Prophet ﷺ asked the permission for people to enter Jannah, what happened to the gates of Jannah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Jannatu adnin muftahatan lahumul abwab muttaki'ina fiha yad'una fiha bifakihatin kathiratin wa sharab. The doors are wide open in Jannah. The doors are wide open. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, the doors are wide open in every place in Jannah. Why? Because you don't need to worry about thief. You don't need to worry about someone breaking in. You don't need to worry about someone sneaking and looking at you inside, or awra or anything like that. You don't need to worry about anything. It's so safe. It's so peaceful. Also, when the doors are wide open, you can see what's outside your room, what's outside your house, so you enjoy everything outside, and even people enjoy what's inside. So it's so different, the nature of it. And مُفَتَّحَ يعني widely open. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is one of my favorite ahadith about Jannah. إِنَّ بَيْنَ مِصْرَاعِي بَابِ الْجَنَّةِ كَمَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. If you open the door of gate of paradise wide open, one of the gates, it is as big and as wide as what is the horizon between the east and the west. The rest is the best part of the hadith. قَالَ وَإِنَّهُ لَيَأْتِي عَلَيْهِ يَوْمٌ وَالنَّاسُ تَكْتَظُّ عَلَيْهِ. There is a day will come where people entering from that door and it is jammed traffic. يعني so many people, shoulder to shoulder. La ilaha illallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among them.
So you imagine that moment that you walk in and it's just, the door is so wide, but people still rubbing shoulders coming in. And now you have to find your place. And the Prophet indicated that you will recognize your house in Al-Jannah and you know the way to it better than you know the way to your house here on earth, you know? And when you get close to your neighborhood, you know everything, you know, that parked car, that tree, that curve on the sidewalk, that bump in the road. Even when you're on the highway, like the exits near your house, they get very, very familiar. And you just, without thinking, you can just naturally steer your way, or you can just cruise straight to your doorstep. So in al-Jannah, if Allah, and that's why some scholars categorize this as the fourth type of guidance, so the last time you need guidance to find your house in al-Jannah. Because you, if otherwise, you'll need all eternity opening door after door, or the door always they open. This my house. No, sorry, this my house. Salam alaikum. But you go straight to it, and it's amazing. I just imagine the things going through people's heads at that moment, and because your main concern is just making it into Jannah. You're worried about yourself. You never thought to ask about where's my mom, where's my dad, my son, my daughter, my wife. Just let me get in there. And then you reunite, and that's just such an amazing moment. It's just, anyways.
Sheikh Ammar, how many gates did Jannah have?
Eight.
Eight gates?
Yes. Final answer.
Oh, no, just not as. Can you tell us a little bit about the gates? Why there is eight? What is it like?
I don't know why there are eight, to be honest. I have no idea why there are eight. But I know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned a number of actions that people will be able to enter because of, or the gates are named after different actions, or represent different actions. And one of them, of course, is Rayyan, which the people who fast will enter through. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is of those who will enter through all eight gates, or will be called to be entered through all eight gates. Yeah, but.
Yeah, there is a debate over is Jannah has eight gates or not. That's not an agreed upon about among Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah. They said, yes, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Hadith Sahal ibn Sa'd fi Sahihain, Inna fil Jannati thamaniyata abwab. In Jannah there is eight gates. But you see, in Jannah there is eight gates, it doesn't mean they are limited to eight. But
these,
you just
these
said.
These are the gates to enter Jannah?
In Jannah there is, eight gates. Access to Jannah. But it doesn't, the hadith doesn't say only eight gates or Al-Jannah has only eight gates. He said, in it, there is eight gates. So the scholars looked at the hadith that mentioned the gates of paradise. So some scholars looked at any hadith said a gate of paradise. So we know the famous hadith was Sahih, hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Sheikh Ammar just talked about, when Abu Bakr, it mentioned there is a gate for Al-Jihad, those who offer jihad, and the gate for those who salah, and a gate for sadaqah, and a gate for fasting, al-rayyan. So those are four. What other gates mentioned? What other deeds were mentioned that there is a gate named after these good deeds? Al-ulama said there are so many good deeds, so that means has to be so many gates. They said some of them so many. After each one of these good deeds, you know, main good deeds, there is a gate for it. So if you're among the people who smile a lot, help people a lot, there will be a gate for you to go from. So they start looking at the ahadith that is specifically mentioned, and Ibn Hajar and others mentioned that there are 16 gates were mentioned in the ahadith. 16 different gates.
1-6,
yes. So, but to be honest with you, not all these ahadith are authentic, okay? And the number one. Number two, not because the Prophet ﷺ said, for example, there is a hadith said, there is a gate for those who say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah Allah. There is a gate for example, Birr al-Walidain, Awsat Abwab al-Jannah, the middle gate of paradise for those who are dutiful and good to their parents. Okay? And so many things like that. So some ulama said, when you find this ahadith, there is a hadith, one for a tawakkul, for sahih, that he said for al-mutawakkilin, they have a gate for Jannah, will be called. Ahlul dhikr will be called from a gate. So, al-ulama said it might be the same gate, have multiple reasons. Yani, it's the gate for dhikr, the gate for salah, and the gate for jihad is just one gate, but have multiple. So people will call, all the people of Salah come first, and the people of Dhikr, but from the same gate. The only difference will be al-rayyan, only for those who fast a lot and perfect their fasting in Ramadan. When they enter from this gate, the gate will be closed. No one else can enter from it. Versus the other gates give you an indication that people can come from it. So there is a debate. Some said limited to 8. Some people said more than 8. You know, but I just want you to be aware of it. It doesn't really matter. We will figure it out, inshallah, when we go to Jannah.
طيب. Question, Sheikh, about the gates. So the gate is your entrance into al-Jannah, or could it be that they are just like archways that are an honor to go through? Yani once you're already in Jannah, there are also other gates, just like there will be.
Yeah, what it seems decorative. To be, no, it is a gate that has door closed. That's why the Prophet ﷺ knock on it. It will be open for him. Then the rest of the gates will be open. We don't know the details. If there is other more gates to each level in Jannah or not, we don't really know. Allah knows best.
So about the people who enter into paradise, I never forgot that when I was like 15 years old, I watched an interview of a famous actor, and he lived in Texas, and he was talking about his Texas ranch, and he said, my ranch in Texas, and this blew my mind, I never forgot it. He said, my ranch is 4 times the size of the island of Manhattan. And I was like, Allahu Akbar, I can't believe this guy has that much land. 4 times the size of the island of Manhattan? I was like, how big is Texas? So could you imagine if a person has that type of a property? But imagine if a person had Texas as a property. Like this was their property. They own Texas. Like how insanely wealthy could this person be? And then expand that. Imagine a person had the United States of America. And then expand that. A person had North America. And he had that beautiful place that Sheikh Waleed was talking about in Canada. Or South America, right? And you just keep expanding. The last person to enter Jannah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us about this individual. The last person to enter Jannah. This is a person who's been in the hellfire for however long they've been.
The lowest level.
The lowest level in Jannah. And so it's a long, beautiful hadith. But in conclusion, when this person enters into Jannah, or he finds Jannah to be full. And he's hearing the party, people laughter and the celebration and all of that. And so he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah gives him and says, would you be pleased if I were to give you what is equal to the earth? The entire earth. That's all of the beautiful places in earth. It's Spain, it's the Maldives, it's Sudan, it's all of these places that you've heard about. Imagine you had all of that, and then, and it's equivalent, and it's equivalent, and it's equivalent, up till 10 times. Mm-hmm. 10 times. This is the last person to enter Jannah. And then the man himself can't believe it. He says, oh Allah,
mocking me?
Are you mocking me and you are the Lord of the worlds? Are you mocking me? You can't believe it, right? But this is the last person. So then what about, inshallah, all of us who enter way, 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 way before that? What we will have?
SubhanAllah, Musa alayhi salam, when he heard this hadith, Prophet Musa, when he heard that from Allah, that this is the lowest level in Jannah, Musa asked the question, the same question that I had in my head when I read the hadith. And I'm sure you guys have the same question. If this is the lowest, what's the highest? He said, Ya Rab, if this is the lowest, what about the highest? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those are in Jannat Adn. This is on the top. This is the top, top. This is in a place in it things never seen, never heard of before. What that means, never heard, never seen before, never thought of before. What that means? It means, yani, even if I tell you what's in it, it will not make sense to you. Why? Because you don't know what that means. If I tell you, in Jannah, there is Sharam Balul. Oh my God, Sharam Balul. You will eat Sharam Balul the whole day long. Sharam Balul. What's Sharam Balul? Makes no sense to you because you never seen Sharam Balul before. You don't know what Sharam Balul is. There is nothing similar to it. Never thought of it. You know, it's just a random word. So exactly, that's how it's going to sound if you start describing what's in Jannah for you. Because something you never seen, you never imagined. When this movie Avatar came, I was teaching the course. Somebody showed me some scene from the movie Avatar. And he said, Sheikh, Jannah will be like that? I said, no, way more than that. That's the imagination of the director and the people who made the movie. And it was very fascinating, actually. But can you imagine this is something beyond even any human's imagination? La ilaha illallah. And one of the things that really touched my heart, subhanAllah, yani, I sometimes said, like, yani, do we really deserve that? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قال تلك التي غرست غراسها بيدي. I planted the trees of paradise with my own hand for you. Akhi, that's Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made this for you. Wallahi, when I go to one somebody's house and he told me, I cook the food for you with my hand, or somebody like starts serving me or, you know, preparing the house, mashallah, very nice for me. I feel so special. I feel like, and that's just a human being. And if that person is older than me or somebody I respect or a sheikh to me or some, I will be like out of my, I will be flying. كيف يعني وهذا هو رب العالمين. Can you imagine this Allah himself preparing this for you? That's so much honor. It just be, that's enough for you to say, wow. And also that shows the nature of this Lord. How easy he is to be pleased. How loving Lord he is. No one of us deserve that. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no one deserves Jannah for their deeds. It is because of Allah's mercy. But think about that. Think about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this for you. Yes. You enter only from one gate. But you can be given the choice. Because the rule is like this. If you enter Jannah, you never leave the Jannah. If you walk in, you never go. Type question, why Abu Bakr asked for the 8 gates? Yani Abu Bakr is not going to be cut 8 pieces. Each piece goes from one gate. That's right? His head, one gate. He's going to enter from one gate. So why would he ask that? Is Ya Rasulullah someone who will be called from the 8 gates of paradise? Anybody knows? What do you think? What would he ask that for?
I would imagine it would be the having the honor of being called from every gate.
The honor. Beautiful. Uh-huh. You want to make the choice. It's not like I go from here. No, no. I want to enter from whatever gate I want to go. That's aiming so high. That's aiming so high. I want to make the choice. Versus us today, if I tell you how to go to Jannah, you say, Sheikh, I don't care. Shall I throw me from the window? I'm good. You know, slide me from underneath the door. You know, just throw me from the window. I'm happy. No, no. Abu Bakr, he doesn't aim that. He isn't very high. He said, I want to make the choice. That's the difference.
How about something about the houses of Al-Jannah? Unless we went in through the door. Let's find the places, right? No. So, where do we start, huh? Look at the sizes of the houses of Al-Jannah. I mean, built of gold or pearls or silver. Now, the scholar said, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will describe the bracelets of silver, for example. So they said, first of all, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes bracelets of silver, it doesn't mean that that's the only thing available. Because in other parts of the Quran, Allah mentions bracelets of gold. But they said the silver of al-Jannah, and someone might say, "Tab, silver is not that expensive. So why is Allah describing silver? Gold is a big deal, platinum, but silver, who cares?" So they said the silver of al-Jannah is not like any other silver. And they said, if you, in the hadith, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that you will have your riding animal and you will tap it with this stick. He said, just the stick that you tap your animal with is better than the whole world and everything in it. So that's a stick, which is typically like a wooden item or something. So if the stick is better than the world and everything in it, what do you think of the silver of al-Jannah? So silver and gold and pearls and musk and rivers and houses that are huge, that when and servants, and when you want to drink, you would just like press the ground like this and there's a spring. And the spring continues, like, because the resources are unlimited in al-Jannah. Like, no matter how rich you are on earth, you don't have a hot shower running all the time in case you decide to step under it or not. The resources are limited and it's still costly. But in al-Jannah, you press and the spring comes out. And you drink a little from it and you leave it, because the house is huge, it will never flood. And they said that the spring itself, once it shows up, it beautifies the house, it makes it more beautiful. It's like adding a fountain somewhere. So every time you drink, the place gets more beautiful. And every time you need a drink, the drink is right there, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the servants like scattered pearls. And scattered because they're everywhere. So you don't have to, like, you know, clap, ring a bell, when al awlad dal, where are these boys? And you wait, then he finally comes, "Ya Khamshi, get me the thing." Then he goes about to get it, you're still waiting. And then I also love that you drink just out of sheer enjoyment. And Allah described the drink itself, قَدَّرُوهَا تَقْدِيرًا, that is measured perfectly for you. Some scholars said the amount is perfect. Because, you know, sometimes you drink and you've got a little left, and because of this bad habit of, you know, finish your food, finish your drink and all that, you've got a little bit left and now you're full, but you're just forcing yourself. Oh, I'm wasting money, haram. And then now you're like, I shouldn't have done that, and you hate life and you can't move. And the amount was too much. And sometimes you get a drink and you just need a few more sips to tazbut al, right? You just need a few more sips. It wasn't enough. It was good, but it was just too little. But here, measured perfectly. That's one tafsir. The other tafsir says that it's made to the way you like it. It's not too sweet. It's not too cold. It's the way you perfectly would like it. You know, sometimes people offer you tea, too much sugar, it's too warm, too hot. It's going to be perfect.
Yes, sir.
So I heard there's some driving involved and how fast you can go with the speed limit.
No, so if I'm understanding you correctly, you said everything will be immediate, right? Yes. Yep. Exactly. With everything that you want, it'll be perfectly how you want it. The settings are always just how you want it. Inshallah. Yeah. Yes, Khalid.
Your own what?
Planet.
Yeah. Your own world.
Yes. Isn't it that people will only desire things that are good and pure and reasonable?
Yeah, because they are good and pure and reasonable.
Hmm?
Yeah. There's no evilness. So nobody from Jannah, for example, will wish haram or bad things. I want to kill people.
Yeah, like a serial killer made Tawbah, he's in Jannah. He's like, I want to strangle somebody. Then he just gets to...
Yeah, because there is no evilness in people. Yeah. So, speaking of the doors of Jannah, you know, subhanAllah, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, من أنفق من شيء زوجين تلقته حجبة الجنة يدعون كل يدعوه أن يدخل من عندهم. Anyone spent twice from the same thing, in the Day of Judgment, the Jannah, when he approached paradise, every angel will tell, come enter from this gate. So in other words, he have access to all gates.
What does
because
it mean?
Abu Bakr is not the only one will be called from the eight gates. There is other people too. And another thing that make you do that, eligible for that, is to give twice from the same thing. What that means. For example, I'm in a fundraising. You know, I donated $100, then I donate another $100. Okay? I give food, then I give another food. Same thing you do twice in the same time. Somebody poor came to me and I gave him $1. Then I said, you know what? I'm gonna make them two. I double it. That person will be getting that honor.
But genuinely like that.
Yeah.
Meaning you gave $1, then you genuinely thought, you know, let me give another. Mushin, no, you give him 50 cents and you plan to give him $1 and like come back. Here's another 50 cents.
Yeah, you trick Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure. But why? Because it is hard to beat the shaitan once. So to beat him twice and you be in the habit of beating the shaitan several times, that shows that you will be a good person, a person who control. And there's many ahadith, by the way, speaking about other ways to enter Jannah from any gates that you wish. Many. Some of them are something as simple as?
Ways to enter into Jannah?
No, gates of Jannah, to be called from the eight gates of Jannah.
Of them is that when you make wudu, that a person perfects their wudu, and then they say after completing their wudu, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير, that all of the eight gates of paradise are opened for this person. So something as simple as perfecting your wudu and making that statement afterwards.
Yeah. The one I know, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من الطاهرين واجعلني من التوابين. فتحت له أبواب الجنة الثمانية. The eight gates of paradise will be open for him. Also those who lost children and they are patient. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told a man, he lost his son, he said, if you wish and you be patient, you will see your son in the Day of Judgment taking your hand to enter from any gate you want.
You just reminded me, Sheikh, with the losing children. I remember once, even with a woman losing her husband, I remember once a sister had asked Sheikh Salah about, she was basically saying, like, I'm a widower, and I've got children, and I'm raising them, and it's super hard for me. Not a widower, she's a widow. She said, it's super hard for me, like, can you tell me something? And so he said, there's a hadith of Abu Hurairah that's controversial in its authenticity, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he's arriving at the gates of paradise, there's a woman who's like almost there with him. And so he says to her, who are you? And then she says, I am a woman who was a widow and I raised my children. I took care of my children, I raised my children. So it shows this incredible high status of the one who takes care of their children in that difficulty.
Oh, I have an important question, Sheikh. Someone asked this question some months ago. A sister said, will the woman wear hijab in al-Jannah?
No hijab in Jannah. Good for you guys.
But what if a man doesn't want his wife to be doing the shampoo commercial in front of everyone else in al-Jannah?
He will not, because nobody will look at any sister. Why there is hijab in dunya? To protect them. In Jannah, there is no need for protection. You know, there's no bad desire. There is no crossing the line. There is nobody, you know, everybody. That's why Aisha radiallahu anha, she was with a group of Muslim women and they saw some non-Muslim woman dazzling and showing their beauties and stuff like that. Then Aisha radiallahu anha, she said something so beautiful. That's what I'm talking about. Connect your heart to Jannah. قال تمتعنا به فإنه لكم في كنا في الدنيا ولنا في الآخرة. Enjoy yourself, like showing off and showing your beauty in dunya. For us, we'll do that in the akhirah.
So is it?
And she was sending a message to the young woman with her, the young girl with her, because I know it's hard. I know it's hard for a young girl to put hijab. It's not easy. Every girl wants to show her beauty. So Aisha said, don't worry, you enjoy it now, we'll enjoy it in the akhirah. We'll have no hijab at that point.
Is it just the hur then that wear the khimar? The Prophet ﷺ said the khimar of...
Khimar isn't a hijab. Khimar is like a shawl, like some dala kida. You know, it's just like something you put like a scarf, like, you know, these expensive scarf you put it just to...
So it's a fashion statement.
It's a fashion thing.
But Sheikh, that statement of Aisha is powerful because today our young girls, yani they see other girls jumping up and down on night and day on TikTok, jumping up on, and people just jumping. And then instead of yani feeling in that attitude of Aisha radiallahu anha, they feel like I need to jump bardo, jump a little bit, tomorrow jump higher, and they start to want to emulate. Yani, I remember one time, it's just a sign of defeat. There was a hotel where there was an Islamic conference and also some non-Muslim wedding, same hotel. فطبعاً people are bound to meet. Those guys from the wedding, they brought a dancer, I'm not going to describe any outfits, that was changing in the bathroom with the hijabi sisters were there from the conference, and they all started telling her, you look amazing, you look beautiful. And then she says, you can't dress like this, can you? And instead of telling her something strong like that, they all tried to show her that we're just like you and we can do it. Yes, we're allowed by in our religion. Which religion is this? We're allowed. Yani, it's just so weak. No da'wah. Yani, wahdam, you know, barely clothed. No da'wah to her. Just feeling beneath such people who are just jumping up and down. It's such a defeated...
Speaking of defeated, one of the proofs of prophethood of the Prophet ﷺ, when I is when he describes Jannah, it's like either this man is the most amazing political figure, military figure, theologian, and at the same time happens to have the most creative mind in the world. For this person to describe, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like the trees of Jannah, that their bases, their trunks are of gold and all of these beautiful, like how does he know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a tree shining in and of itself is something beautiful. Like in the winter time now, we're in
the
Christmas.
The tree of Jannah, that's where your clothes come from. It. The fruit, that one of the trees in Jannah, you go and the clothes come from it. You take it, وتلبسها, طوبة. ثياب أهل الجنة منها.
It's amazing. So
can you imagine that?
So now people love the lights, right, on trees in the holiday season, and it's so beautiful, and you want to walk down the streets, and people are even getting Christmas trees, right, that defeated mentality that you're getting because it's like, oh, it's just we love the lights on the trees and stuff like that. But to me, the description that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives in and of itself is just, it's a proof of his prophethood, sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. Absolutely. You know,
even when he describes Sidrat al-Muntaha, and he says that it's colors that I can't describe now. Like, how does he know? Like, this is a psychological thing, Sheikh Kamal. Like this notion of you can't invent a new color, or you can't imagine a new color. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is describing all of these aspects, it's just unbelievable.
True.
Yeah, combining all these things together is absolutely al-Jannah levels. So Sheikh Kamal, I have a question for you. You like interesting questions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna fil jannati mi'ata daraja, 100 levels. But yet, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you walk to the masjid, for each step you take to the masjid, Allah raise you one level in Jannah. طيب, and I walk to the masjid more than 100. That's right. For each step you take to Mecca, for Hajj or Umrah, you have for each step, one level in Jannah up. That's how many levels of Jannah there is. Each and every step you take it to the masjid, there is one level up in Jannah. That's why Ibn Mas'ud used to walk with baby steps, small steps. So increase the number of steps. But when he heard the iqamah, he made them big, wide. So how is it 100 or it is billions?
I'm also thinking of the hadith of Aisha. It wasn't She wasn't quoting Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but when she said that the number of levels of Al-Jannah is equal to the number of verses of the Quran and wherever you...
No, that's Aisha's opinion.
Naam.
Yeah, Aisha said, same thing. Aisha said, the levels of Jannah is according to the number of verses in the Quran. Why? Because Allah, it will be said in the Day of Judgment, read, and for each verse you memorize, you go one level in Jannah. So those who only in Qul Huwallahu Ahad need to work a little bit more. You know, it's another surah, third surah. For the every verse you know, you go one level up. So Aisha said, based on this, it will be according to the number of verses in the Quran. So what's the answer?
How long do I have? Can I get till next week?
Oh. Anybody can know the answer, heard this problem before?
When the Prophet ﷺ says there's 100 levels in Jannah, it's just like when he said there are 8 gates of paradise. Doesn't mean that there's only 8.
Yeah, but what he means by that? Why he said it is 100? Some the hadith, actually, if you know the hadith, you might find there. Yes? Very good. Very good. Before I go to this, the hadith goes like this. إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِئَةَ دَرَجَةَ أَعَدَّهَا اللَّهُ لِلْمُجَاهِدِينَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. So there is 100 levels for the mujahideen. So the mujahideens are level in 100. But that doesn't mean that everybody else has 100 too. Some other scholars said that actually it's 100 levels, okay? But these 100 levels, in each level, there is so billions and billions and billions of levels. Yani, let's say you go to number 10. Number 10 in itself, many different levels. You deserve to go to number 10 or 11 or 12 or 100 or 60, whatever it is. You, in that rank, you have many billions of levels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعض وللآخرة أكبر درجات وأكبر تفضيلا أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا لهم درجات عند ربهم. الله أكبر. They have many levels. There's so many levels. وَلِكُلِّنْ دَرَجَاتٌ مِّمَّا عَمِلُوا. There is darajat, levels based on your deeds. See how people levels in this dunya? Al-akhirah also levels. Not the same. So here, something to reflect upon, that you want to raise your level in Jannah. How? By good deeds. And al-Jannah at all, as a whole, is 4. Yani the whole entire Jannah, 4. And in these 4 Jannah sections, you want to say, 2 made of golds and 2 made of silvers. Everything in its silvers. So the gold is the top one, the silver is the lower one. And these, إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّتَانِ مِنْ ذَهَبْ وَجَنَّتَانِ مِنْ فِضَّةِ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الصَّيْعَ عَنِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So, and among each of these, so many levels. So that's why the highest level, ثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنَ الْآخِرِينَ. A large number of the people who will be in the top are from the early generations, and few from the later generations. And the one on the lower levels, a lot of the later generations, and few from the early generations. That's why you should aim high, you should work hard. You remember that story of the tabi'i? He used to hit his head like, rake his legs. And he said, stand up and pray.
I love that quote.
Go ahead.
Muslim al-Khawalani. He was praying in the night and he got really tired. No caffeine, no Red Bull or anything at that time. So he slapped his leg and he said, أَظُنَّ أَصْحَابُ مُحَمَّدًا يَسْتَأْثِرُ بِهِ دُونَنَا. That do the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam think that they're going to have him exclusively again? كَلَّا وَاللَّهِ لَنُزَاحِمَنَّهُمْ عَلَى الْحَوْضِ. He said, by Allah, we are going to crowd them at the pool. Like the Sahaba, obviously, it's qadr of Allah, they got there with him, but, and we missed out. But he was like, no, on the Day of Judgment, we're going to be there. حَتَّى يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُمْ خَلَّفُوا رِجَالًا. So that they know that they left behind. The people who came after him were after them were men as well. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes.
How do we keep ourselves busy?
Yep. That's a great question. People ask that question all the time. Am I going to get bored in Jannah? Like you're talking about, I'm going to be there forever and ever and ever. Like, do you run out of things to do, or how does that work?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يبغون عنها حولا. Allah says in the Quran, they never wish a change. They would never wish change. They will be so enjoying it every single moment of their life.
You know, I was in New York one winter where it was so cold, they came up with this name we never heard of before called a polar vortex. It's like, what kind of winter is this? It was so cold. It's like 2012, I think, or something like that. So then I got a flight to California, and I was like, I'm out. I went, landed in San Jose. It was beautiful, 70 degrees, and I go straight to the beach. And I'm at the beach, and I go in a store, and I need to buy something from the store, and she asked me for my driver's license. So I give her my driver's license, and it says New York on it. And she's like, oh, you're from New York. I wish I was there right now. And I was like, lady, taqillah. What do you mean? You wish? Like, we're fleeing. You're sitting here, beach, sun, ocean. And she was like, I'm so bored here. Like, I can't stand. She's like, I need to leave California. And so that verse, I remember that every time in Surah Al-Kahf where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes paradise and he says, لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوْلًا. That's the one place. It doesn't matter. You go to the most beautiful places on earth. Again, you go to the Maldives, you go to Sudan, you go anywhere, and you just will eventually get bored. You just get tired of it. But Jannah, you never want to relocate from. Yes, sir.
It's life.
No sleeping in Jannah. Nobody sleeps in Jannah.
What if you enjoy sleeping, Sheikh? Just asking for a friend.
Sorry, Sudan. No sleeping in Jannah.
Even on the Sudanese section.
Because, no. Because sleeping is a form of death. And nobody die in Jannah. And sleeping, why do we sleep? Why do we sleep?
To recharge.
To recharge. You don't get tired in Jannah. You think so? Also, sleeping cut you off. I go to sleep because I'm done with the day sometimes. I just want to go to sleep. You know, you know that.
Disappear,
you
know? And escape.
Yeah, I just want to just go to sleep. Go to my dream world. You know what? Your dream world is reality. There's no need for you to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Sleeping will cut you off from the enjoying.
And there's no day or night, right, Chef?
And there is no day and night. There is no concept of day and night. The concept of time is not existent in Jannah too. That actually people understand there is a day come. But that, as came in some of the narration, with the light shine from the underneath the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and people will know that this is the beginning of a day. That's why they still have a concept of Friday. There is a day, a week, you know, and Friday they go meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every Friday, once every week, the people get to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to be there in a place it's called Al-Wadi Al-Afiyah, a valley that smells so good. So there is still a concept of understanding days and time, but people don't feel it. And the time is the day, because as you see in Jannah, there's no sun, there's no moon anymore. But there is light, and the light of Jannah is like the light that you experience after the sunrise, like in the early time in Fajr, okay? That's how that's how the Jannah looks like.
Yes, sir, in the back, in the pink.
If Jannah
is like this place you never
get bored of, and it's just like amazing, like it's like the best thing ever,
then what's the difference between the lower level and the higher level? Very good. Just repeat the question, Sheikh. Yeah, he's saying, what's the difference between the lower and the higher? If everybody is very satisfied in Jannah, and happy in Jannah, and it's the best place ever. Why there is many levels? That only affect you in the dunya, not in the akhirah. That's only for you in this life to aim high. But the moment you enter there, you're not gonna feel envying the people on the higher level, or you wish, no. But obviously, in the beginning, maybe you wish you've done more, But as you go and settle in, khalas, everybody. But that's concept is for you now. To work hard so you can aim high. Like, you want to be in the best. You want to be into the higher level. You will see things in the higher level you're not going to see in the lower level. You will be happy with it. But you're not going to have that things. Now you understand that. You see that. You're looking forward. That's a human nature. That they're looking for something big and better and increasing their, basically, assets in Jannah.
Remember the verse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the life of the hereafter. It is the abode, darul hayawan. In the old days, I used to tell one of my best friends, I used to tell him, this verse always reminds me of you, لأنك حيوان. And then he explained it to me. So in Arabic, to show al-istighraq, or to show that it's something all the way to the fullest or to the maximum, you add the noon. So it is life to the fullest. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it that way. Like every aspect, you get to the fullest. And there's no way you would get tired or bored of something like that. And naturally, if you think logically, and if you got bored of it, how would that be your reward? To be bored for eternity. And maybe after 100,000 years, khalas, okay, I'm bored. Then, so there's no way the possibility of boredom would arise. Otherwise, it would become a punishment.
Right? I mean, even in the dunya, there are things that we've never gotten bored of. Like, you might find a person who's like a fanatic of a movie, they've watched it 1,000 times, they never get bored of it. There are people who experience certain things and they just, over their lifetime, they've never gotten bored of it. And that's just human-made things. So to think what Allah created, that He's prepared for you forever, that you would get bored of it, in and of itself is...
Yeah. For the levels of Jannah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by one of the companions, he said, Ya Rasulullah, when I go home and I don't see you from Fajr until Isha, from Isha until Fajr, I feel so, like, it's so hard for me for that long time to pass by without meeting you. From Isha to Fajr, I didn't see you. What will happen when you go to Jannah? And you are in very high level and we are in a lower level. How would you see? Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَعِنِّي عَلَى نَفْسِكْ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ. You want to raise your level in Jannah? What do you do? Increase your sujood, increase your salah. You want to raise your level in Jannah? Can you guys think of things that elevate your status in Jannah? I'm giving you a hint.
Yatim, the orphan.
Yeah, the Prophet said, me and the one who take care of orphans like this, and he joined his two fingers like that. The scholars have two interpretations. Is this like this? Yani my level in Jannah is just one level ahead of him or her. Some said, no, he's higher than him like this, like the difference between the length of the two fingers. You see? That how high. Or some said, no, he entered Jannah right after the Prophet ﷺ. It's not to do with the level. Some scholars said. But anyway, it means that you are in a very high level, very close to the Prophet ﷺ. Like this. You know, there is so many things, like every step you walk to the masjid to pray jama'ah, raise your level in Jannah. Subhanallah al-azim wa bihamdi, raise your level in Jannah. So, you know, it's up to you how much high you want to go.
I mean, there's so much...
Sorry, for the levels of Jannah, the people visit one another. Like, let's say you want to visit the Prophet ﷺ, you want to visit Umar, you want to visit Abu Bakr, you will visit. But the way it works, the lower one will be taken up to the higher one. The higher one don't go down. So even if they, the higher one, want to see someone, they will be risen to them. To meet them, then they go back to their status. Also, those who enter Jannah in a higher level, they can intercede for those on lower level to be elevated. So, yani, mashallah, your wife is a very good one. Imagine, yani, mashallah, your wife go all the way up high, Sheikh Kamal in Jannah, and you didn't make it, yani, to that high. Sister Amani is not going to say, hey, Kamal, see you. I'm going to see you now. She stay there, buddy. No. She intercede for you to be elevated all the way to her level.
Of
course. How's it going to be Jannah if she doesn't have me next to her?
Allahu Akbar.
Ya salam. Okay.
That's why, Sheikh, you mentioned this notion of we're going in as groups. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said, befriend the believers as much as you can because every believer will have an intercession. And so the idea of you want to have a higher place in Jannah, make sure that your friends are believers. Make sure that you surround yourself with good people who will get to Jannah, inshallah.
Sheikh, I have an interesting reward in Al-Jannah. I mean, I think it's a clear reward, but it's not ever mentioned with the list of rewards. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran, someone will be sitting in Al-Jannah, then he'll remember a friend from this dunya who used to make fun of him. Ah, you're covered up like that. Or you believe in the God of this, and you believe there is a life after that, and you know, live once and YOLO and all this nonsense, trying to pull you to their side, and you resist them, and then at that moment, it will open up, and you will see them in their place in the hellfire. And just like they used to taunt you, maybe that's not the best choice of words, but in the dunya, you will speak to them, and you say, you know what, you almost made me go with you. You almost made me, you know, one of the losers. And I think there's a great reward in that. Not that people in Al-Jannah are vindictive and they want to see others, but I think there's also a great pleasure in seeing.
It validates your decisions as well.
I can give you a list of 20 people right now that would be a great pleasure to see them in that place. But we won't go through that list right now.
There's so much still to mention in Jannah. There's the food of Jannah we haven't talked about yet. People love taking pictures of their food in the dunya. They just love snapping it and things like that. Jannah, the food of Jannah, Sheikh Kamal, you mentioned that people will never drink out of thirst. That thirst will be quenched from Al-Kawthar, correct, Sheikh Wadi? Mm-hmm. So on the day of judgment, they'll drink from Al-Kawthar, and then they will never, ever feel thirsty again. And so everybody in Jannah, they've quenched their thirst on the day of judgment.
But Al-Kawthar only for the
Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But every prophet will have a pool, right?
Yes.
Every prophet will have a pool. So the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they'll drink from Al-Kawthar and then they'll never feel thirsty again. And so everything we drink in Jannah, inshallah, is going to be just pure bliss. And then you have the different rivers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, river of honey, river of water, river of milk, and river of wine. And Ibn Abbas describes, like Sheikh Wadid mentioned, that all of the negative qualities are removed in Jannah. So Ibn Abbas mentions even with wine, that it removes all of the negative qualities of wine, such as intoxication, hangover, headaches, urination. All of these negative qualities are removed from it. The first thing that the people of Jannah will eat is...
Before you go to the eat,
yes.
The rivers of Jannah are very interesting. The river of Jannah, ليست لها أخاديد. It doesn't run in the earth or in the ground. It runs above the ground.
How does that work?
You can imagine the water running on the top. You run like this. There's no sides.
And still with depth.
The depth of the river run, and you can see from the top to the bottom. And you sit next to it, and the water just running beside you, next to you. That's how it runs between homes, between trees. That's how the rivers are in Jannah. So what you need, you just reach out and you drink from it. And one of the thing is that Al-Quran describe and the Prophet ﷺ describe it. He said that these rivers, the Al-Hasa, pebbles in Jannah, in the rivers, are what? Made of all these beautiful rubies, and stones, colorful ones. And you know, rivers are very murky. You know that? Rivers, in general, murky. So that's why people usually don't dive in rivers. Okay, why? Because the water is running, and it's, you know, and the bottom of it is usually... So the bottom of the rivers in Jannah made of what? Musk. So when it moves... The smell of the bottom of it is so beautiful. It's just unbelievable the way it's... Can you imagine these rivers run like that? وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تجري من تحتها الأنهار. Give the glad tidings for those who believes and do good deeds, that there is gardens, runs in it rivers, rivers. And still the running water is one of the most beautiful things to see, the rivers running in front of you. So can you imagine if it runs like in a very, this unique way?
Yes, sir.
Just over there.
There will be a bridge over it? Sheikh, are there going to be bridges over these rivers?
I don't know, but maybe when you walk, the water stop. You can go, the water continue after you pass. You don't have to have...
Yeah. Yes. Will everybody be able to see Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Every believers, yes, will meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one that you remember when you die. Unless you lost your memory for, yeah, he's asking, if somebody memorized the Quran, then he forgot, and he, which, according to which he will go in Jannah. He will go according to the thing that he will maintain before his death. Unless something tragic, like had a dementia or something like that, and he lost his memory, that will be different. But as a normal, no, what you kept with you upon your death. Yes. Very good.
It's a great question. So would you, if you're 18, when you pass away, is that the age that you're going to be in Jannah? People will be resurrected. The people of Jannah, rather, will be at the age of Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salam. He'll be 33 years old. People will be 33 years old, which is amazing. It's the peak of youth. Even when you look at athletes now, you see that their peak performance and what have you is around 33 years old, by and large, Annie.
Yeah, by the way, Jannah also has seas, not only rivers. And some of the hadith, fiha bahr, a sea. Some people said, maybe no, it is the river, but it's so big as if it looks like a sea. But some said, no, it has actually seas and rivers and ayun, like wells, and oases, or like fountains of water coming. So it has many different shapes and of body of liquids. There is names for Anhar al-Jannah. We know al-Kawthar for the believers. Only mu'min from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ummah will drink from it. Nobody else, as an honor for them. But also there is another river, it's called al-Bariq. There is another, and sahih, all this ahadith is authentic. Also al-Baydakh, al-Baydah. And that's one of the rivers that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. And all the rivers of Jannah comes from the top of Jannah. From the very top, from Sidrat al-Muntaha, from this big huge tree in the top, okay? The rivers run from underneath of that, then goes down to the, trickle down to all the people in Jannah.
Is it true, Sheikh, that the Nile and the Euphrates are rivers of Jannah?
Not only them, but also Sihon and Jihon. The Al-Furat and the Nile, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said they are from Jannah, and there's a debate over what that means, from Jannah. It could be that the initial start of these two rivers were something that started from Jannah, okay? Or they represent, like these rivers will be running in the same manners in Jannah. So there's a lot of debate over what these...
Yeah, we have to wrap up, but we can't talk about Jannah without talking about the greatest pleasure in Jannah, which is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Before that, I just want to say also that there is certain things about the description of Jannah is very interesting too. Like the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they wear bracelets. Why men will wear bracelets? Why will Jannah talk about like clothes, silk, or men and women wearing like good clothes? SubhanAllah, it is because a lot of Muslims and a lot of people live in this dunya and they don't get chance to wear all these fancy clothes, all this jewelry and stuff. And that's pretty true. You know, just look around the Muslim world. Look at Egypt, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Malaysia, Indonesia, Syria, refugee camps, Palestine, Gaza, Libya, Morocco. Look at all the Muslim world today. You know, a lot of Muslim community members are poor. Just now, can you imagine 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 500 years ago, Mus'ab ibn Umair died and they could not find something to cover his body with. If they cover his head, his feet is showing. And that's in the all the companions there. Yani that means none of them have anything to give. It's just amazing when you think about that. Now you are, because somebody said, what's the big deal about clothes in Jannah? Ah, very good clothes. Yeah, but don't look at yourself. Look at the general time. And also there are certain clothes, you know, it means a lot. You know, I couldn't understand. I don't do stuff like that. But there is people like, they buy this purse, a sister buy a purse that day, it's like $4,000, $15,000, just a purse. And she's like, Sheikh, it's a good purse. I'm sure it is.
I hope it is.
You know? But that's a luxury. You know? I was in one of the conferences once, I saw a brother who's a tailor, and I saw some people doing suits with him. So I said, okay, maybe I'll do a suit too. I never did like a special made suit. He said, yeah, he's doing us like 50% discount. And I said, Jazakallah khair. He's the father-in-law of one of our volunteers. I said, how much is it? Because I saw like two people like doing suits. He said, oh, it's gonna be Sheikh $4,000 with 50% discount. I said, for how many suits? And all of us? He said, no, person. I said, thank you. No, I don't have that money. And if I have that, I don't know if I will ever purchase a suit for $4,000. But you know what? One of them said, Sheikh, it's different. The quality, the thing. But you know what? It has its own. That's why it's clothes, it has a value. And also, by the way, bracelets and stuff like that, because that's how kings are dressed in the old days. The bracelets, the fancy jewelry, it's a representation of that. There is crowns for the believers. You know, there's just a different way, like a description. Also, the food of Jannah. Somebody asked me, Sheikh, why there is no mention of banana in Jannah?
Somali, for sure.
Did you tell them? Did you tell them that it is mentioned?
Huh?
Bala qadirin ala nusawi banana?
No. So he said, why there is no banana? Why there is no mango? I love mango. I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything you wish. So a lot of people ask, why there is mentioned specific food, specific items? What if I don't like honey? You see what I'm saying? So the answer for this, the examples were giving according to the culture of the people who received the Quran. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell the Sahaba that time, and there will be apples.
What's an apple?
Banana. What's a banana? They don't know what's banana. Mose. Arab, they don't eat that. They don't desire that. So it has to be something that it's... But what about none than the Sahaba, the other people, the other culture? Allah tell them, مَا يَشَاءُ. They have whatever they wish. وَفَاكِهَةٍ مِمَّا يَتَخَيَّرُونَ. The fruit that they wish. Inshallah, you can eat kiwi,
durian.
Strawberry, durian without smell. Yeah.
What is the only pain of somebody who's eating food that they really enjoy? Having to stop.
Yeah.
And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that a person will have the strength of 100 men when it comes to eating and drinking. And so that notion of just going to a buffet and being disappointed because you're full, inshallah you'll have...
Gaining weight. Getting out of hand. You can't hold your fat anymore because it's getting bigger.
Yeah. All bets are off. Yes, Rayyan.
That's a metal talk about it.
Yeah, that's a whole Friday night lights we're going to need for that one, inshallah. Yes.
What do you mean everything?
You'll have your entire book if you want to review it. You'll have your book with you.
Look, it's something important to remember. Like, what are you? Your memories. صح? يعني what's the difference between you and anyone sitting here? What you went through and what you experienced and those memories in your head. If you're resurrected and you don't remember anything, you're just something that a machine is going to eat. That's it. You have to be you. How is it a reward if you don't remember anything?
Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Dawata afnan. Al-Jannah. Dawata afnan. What's afnan? Qala ibn Abbas, Dawat alwan. The trees of Jannah is so colorful. And subhanAllah, very beautiful when you see trees with the different colors and mountains different colors. That's how the Jannah looks like. It's not only just one level greenery or just one color. No, very colorful. And it is also so green, mudham matan. It's like the greenery of it is so beautiful, so appealing. I did not understand the difference between greenery until I traveled to Europe. I traveled to the border of Switzerland in the Alps. I saw greenery there that I never seen in any place in the world. No matter what you talk about, I've been to many different places in the world. The greenery, the level of green, is just so beautiful. So that means that there's so many different levels of greenery. And can you imagine, dunya is nothing compared to the akhirah. That's what one thing Ibn Abbas said, nothing from the Jannah, nothing in this dunya similar to the Jannah except only in the name. Tree. But the nature of that tree is completely different. Wine, whatever you think of it, just have the same name. But the reality of it is so different.
But Sheikh, I would imagine that even what you hated here, you would not hate in Al-Jannah.
No.
And there's no way that would make sense. Yani the lactose intolerant guy won't go near the river of milk. Allah la ya'um fi. He'll go near it.
Yes, sister.
Sister, you said?
Yeah, sister behind your body. Just one second.
Individual houses. You have your own house, you and your spouse, then your children, and you can have them around in the same level of yours. That's alhaqna bihim durriyatam. And I said they visit one another.
It's a beautiful one. So we're going to have to wrap up, but there's so much that can still be said. One of the important concepts, I think, is that when you read about Jannah, and it's important that you read about Jannah because like Sheikh Wadeed mentioned when he talked about fashion, that different aspects of Jannah will resonate with you, even at different periods of your life. So when you're, you know, when things are hectic in your life and all you need is just stress-free peace, you know, that notion of that there's no negative energy in Jannah, that people will have no ghil in their hearts towards one another, that might be what motivates you the most. It might be Khadija radiallahu anha when she was promised a house from Jibreel alayhi salam. It was described, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Jibreel, that it was a house that will have no noise in it. It will have no fatigue in it. And Khadija radiallahu anha, the scholars mentioned that that's Sheikh Wadeed's khutbah today. You know, it's you reap what you sow. She had a house that was without any noise with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They never argued. And at the same time, she went through all of this difficulty with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so she's not going to tire in her house at all. And so you will find so many beautiful descriptions of Jannah that we can't go over tonight, but you'll find something that resonates with you personally, deeply, profoundly. And that's very important that you find that.
I think one of the elephants of the room, Al-Hur Al-Ain, that's also a concept that it is in Jannah, and the Quran speaks about it a lot. And a lot of time people, sister, ask me, what about...
I'm like, we need to wrap up. She was like, what about Al-Hur Al-Ain? Now we're here for another hour.
Okay, now, that's a question that's been asked. First of all, Al-Hur Al-Ain are creatures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for the people of Jannah. And Al-Hur Al-Ain are servants, okay? And they serve men and women. So even the female Muslima, she will have al-hur in to serve her and to take care of her and to beautify her. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, so all this description of how beautiful al-hur al-ayn are, you know, Muslims, female Muslims will be more beautiful than al-hur al-ayn. It's like a master. And that's a little bit to make you feel like, you know, yani, even if a man have a desire, will always desire the one that's more beautiful, the one that which is his own spouse. So what about a sister who have no spouse? What she will have? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get her what she wish. What if she wants some spouse, will give her. Sheikh, can I have someone else other than my husband? I'm Jannah. And I said, you know what, if he made it to Jannah, okay, don't worry, whatever falls on him, it will be disappeared. He will be as perfect as you too, okay? But if he didn't make it, in this case, no, you have someone else, or you married multiple men, married someone, died, okay? And in this case, what you do, you wish, you take whatever you wish, whoever you wish.
It's not the last one?
Not the last one. The strongest opinion, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen used to say, she will choose whoever she wished to be with. So al-hur al-ayn is not a concept that a lot of, once a reporter told me, what's the deal with you Muslims that when you die you have a 70 virgin in Jannah? I said, why, are you jealous? He said, what? I said, I don't understand what you was your question. He said, first of all, 70, this is for the shaheed, not for everybody. Okay? Number two, and these are servants. Like, there is basically wildan mukhalladun, also boys who serve, who take care of people, who offer service. Al-hur al-ayn is an intimate relationship between the man and the hur. Yes, Al-Quran speaks about that, you know? And that's part of the reward. It's a physical reward, an emotional reward for the people of Jannah.
Now that we're on the topic, what does it mean that their like legs are see-through, you can see the marrow of their bones, and what does that mean?
Yeah, so this is something, if you say today, it might look scary, you know?
Yes.
It's kind of, not necessarily to be a beauty, but it is so, that means that their skins, and that's, if this applies to al-hur, it applies to women of Jannah as well, that their skin is so clear, is so smooth and so clear that you can see the veins that runs inside, or you see through it. But I'll tell you a rule of thumb has to do with Jannah, with hereafter, with hellfire. You understand so many ahadith and so many verses, what it means, but you cannot imagine it. There are so many things in Jannah beyond your imagination. Because in order for you to imagine something, you have to have some kind of similarity to something else. I understand what that means, but how to put it together, it's like the Prophet ﷺ said, that there will be cups made of silver, but see-through. How can be silver, but see-through? How can be silver, see-through? Yalla, you tell me. How can be a river, liquid, runs on the top of the water and doesn't spill left or right? I understand what that means, but really to imagine it and to know how that will function exactly, it's beyond your imagination. That's something beyond you. You know? And in the Day of Judgment, everyone will talk to Allah. In the same time. فَيُحَاضِرُ كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مُحَاضَرًا. He speaks to every one of us in the same time. How that can be? Imagining it is beyond your imagination. With your own tongue, with your own language. And that's, by the way, is people in Jannah only speak in Arabic? No. They speak every language that they wish. Some ulama said only in Arabic, but there's no proof for that. You can speak any language you want in Jannah. Allah speaks to everyone and talk to everyone in the same time. And everyone feel he's the only one talking to Allah. And that's the best and the highest pleasure in Jannah. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَةً الْحُسْنَ الْجَنَّةِ for those who done good, al-Jannah is for them. And extra. What's extra than Jannah? What's more than Jannah? Which is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's face. You don't see the whole entire Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beyond your ability to see the whole entire God. لا تدركه الأبصار. It's like you know of Allah, but you cannot know everything about Allah. لا يدركه علم الإنسان. And when you see him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only allowed you to see his face. And he removed the veil that he veiled himself from his creation with. And that veil which allowed you to look at his face. And when people look at Allah's face, they will never have a pleasure more than that. We'll never have a pleasure more than that. And that's for the believing men and women. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. And we have more than Jannah. What is it? It is to looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وُجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاضِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاضِرَةٌ. Their faces will be beautiful, shining, more when they look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And في حديث الحديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فَيُطِلُّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ. Allah will be above them. Then they will look at him. That's why the Prophet gave this beautiful example. He said, it's like when you look at the full moon. Everybody see the full moon. We don't need to fight over that. Everybody see the sun. So clear in front of you. You don't need to worry about locating him. See, everybody will see him. La ilaha illallah. Can you imagine finally the God that, how many times you prayed for him? How many times you raised your hand reaching out to him? How many times you put your head down to make sujood for him? How many times you gave for his sake? You prayed him, you trust him, you love him the most. Now the moment to meet him. Now the moment to talk to him. Now the moment to see him. There's nothing can be more pleasure than that. That's why when the caller said, it's the time to meet Allah, every single one in Jannah leaves everything behind. Leaves the food, the clothes, the hur al-ayn, the everything, whatever you're enjoying it, you will leave it behind, you will run to that place. Which shows you that this is more beloved to them than anything else. Al-Jannah is something so big. You know what? Sometimes I'm wondering why Al-Jannah physically is so described so big for us. So you will always have your eyes on the prize. You know, if this is my goal, anything can block it. Small. But if this is my goal, even if I have something in front of me, I still see it. Al-Jannah is so huge, so big. And I think if there's anything I want you to go out tonight with, is to make sure that Al-Jannah is your goal in life. That's my goal. That's why when one of the Sahaba was stabbed in the battlefield and he died as a Muslim now, he's dying as a Muslim. He looked at the blood and he said, Fistu wa Rabbi al-Ka'bah. I won. What did he win? He just lost his life, but he won Jannah. That's the goal. Don't ever take your eyes away from the prize. And if you don't have Al-Jannah as your goal, your life will become like... I always give the example of, can you imagine if we play soccer? Yusuf, how do you think if we play soccer and there is no goals? If we take the concept of goals, goalies and goals, out of the soccer game, would you like soccer? Who play basketball? What do you think if we take the hoops out? We'll just pass the ball to each other. Is that game will be an excited game? We have NBA, we have like Champions League, we have World Cup. All it became the most boring games in life. Huh? Useless. Yeah, useless and boring. That's exactly how is your life without goals. Useless, boring, nothing motivate you, not drive you. Keep that goal of Jannah because it's the best goal ever. Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliya. Keep thinking about this first moment when you walk to Jannah. First moment when you walk to Jannah. And I see Rasulullah over there. I see Musa. I see Isa. I see Khalid bin Walid. I see Abu Bakr. I see Ibn Taymiyyah. I see Ibn Sirin. Just think about this first moment. Just think about the first moment when you walk to Jannah. What would you remember? Are you going to remember anything from the pain or the thing that in dunya? You remember for all these, many of these things that we get so angry over it right now and mad about it and cry over it. Wallahi will not come to you at that moment. You will not think about it at that moment. So keep that. Sorry to take so much of your time, but that's a message that we should remind one another of. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among Ahlul Jannah. Allahumma ameen. And make easy for us to go to Jannah. And it's very easy to go to Jannah. I told Sheikh Ammar, I have a book called The Slacker Guide to Jannah. Okay? Yeah, it's called The Slacker Guide to Jannah. Because it's really easy to go to Jannah. It's not hard at all. You know, and it just, but it needs to be a goal. I will let the mashayikh end with one.
All right. With that, inshallah ta'ala, we wrap up this session. Jazakumullah khair, everybody. Some quick announcements. Tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to have a half-day session on the inner dimensions of salah. And then on Sunday, we're going to continue with a full day, inshallah ta'ala. So it'll start from 2 to 7 p.m. tomorrow. And then from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday, inshallah ta'ala, it'll be all day. 14 years old plus, I'll be teaching it, inshallah. We're going to be deep diving into salah. What does the prayer mean? Like, what are these movements that we do? Ruku', sujood, connecting to the prayer better, inshallah ta'ala. Because that is such a crucial way to get to Jannah, inshallah. So that will be tomorrow. Youthful knowledge is not happening tomorrow.
No. But it's khushu', right? So inshallah, after you, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
So inshallah, after you you take the class, so Sunday, Saturday, Sunday, that you can focus better in salah and not be distracted in salah. So, because one of the worst things is that we meet Allah Azza wa Jal with years and years of just prayer, that the minute you say Allahu Akbar, your just mind starts going into the market, to this, to that, to entertainment, what I'm going to do the minute I'm out of this salah. So it's really at a really important class, and there's also babysitting. Please review the flyer for the ages for the babysitting, and register also helps us to you know, set up for the babysitting and all that. So that's Saturday starting 2 p.m. and it's going to go until 7 p.m. And then Sunday it's going to start 10 a.m. and until 7, but there's going to be a 2-hour lunch break. And we actually have a deal with we just made a deal today with the halal. You know the halal chicken place on Highway 3?
Yes.
And you they're going to give you a price that's out of this world.
What's that?
Naam? There's a new halal chicken place. So they're going to give you a really good deal. And, la la, mahal jadid hina. Anyways, so do join us, inshallah. It's going to be awesome. I'm taking it. My wife's taking it.
The last thing is, if anybody's flirting with the idea or needs some encouragement to go to Umrah, Sheikh Uri just came back and said that it was one of the best Umrahs he's ever gone to in his life. And so the Haram's empty. It's still an opportunity to take advantage of this really unique opportunity. I'm going with a group through Al Maghrib called Blessed Voyage, myself, Sheikh Yasir Rijas, as well as sponsored by the Masjid as well. That doesn't mean your particular Umrah trip is going to be sponsored by the Masjid, but in general, it's sponsored by the Masjid, alhamdulillah. And we're leaving on December 21st, December 21st till December 31st, inshallah. So check out blessedvoyage.com. We'd love to go with you, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair.
Whoever feels like moving chairs, come see me. Assalamu alaikum.